Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James, and thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, my family.
Good morning.
Yeah, we lost our tent out back for a few weeks because they're gonna pour cement. So it's gonna be nice when they pour cement, and hopefully we can get the tent back up for our overflow and for fitting more people, and it'll be less dusty. But they asked us to take it down this week. I thought the form was gonna be up, but I think they need some help. Maybe some of us guys have to go and form it up for them. Maybe. All right, hey, you guys had a great week? Short week? How many of you had Monday off? How many of you was off all week? Well, yeah, all the retired guys. Or all the guys who was smart and got the fireman jobs or the policeman jobs who worked and then now they can retire. It's like, man, I wasn't that smart, all right? Yeah. Well, you know, it is the middle of July, almost. Remember, I just was reflecting on some things as we entered the month of July. You know, last year, July 1st, remember, I went in, I had surgery for colon cancer, and it was like, I always thought when I found out the results, it's like, me? Are you kidding? That stuff happens to everybody else. And I was like, no way. But yeah, way, it was me. So, you know, that was like July 1st I went, and then I was reflecting, July 6th was the passing of my mom 3 years ago. And then, so it's like a lot of things have been happening. And then I just, because of the cancer stuff I had, I got to go screening every year now. You know, meaning, you know what they mean, right? They got to do the colonoscopy thing. So they had to go through some scans and go to the doctor and see the oncologist. And then I had to schedule another colonoscopy for August 3rd. So August 3rd, pray for me, okay, that I would get through this well. And so I was just reflecting on, oh, so much things happened in July. It's like, wow. And I was thinking, how, you know, we all face stuff and difficulties, and how do we get through it in such a way that people look at us and say, wow, you handle stressful situations pretty well. You know, because sometimes, how many of you, like, in stressful and difficult situations, things go flying? How many of you broke a telephone against the wall because you was mad? Anybody? Well, you guys are good. Yeah. How many of you had holy doors in your house? Huh? I had holy doors in my house. And after when I'm fixing it, I think you're like, oh, you stupid. Stupid. You know, why did you, now you gotta pay for it and you gotta do the work. You know, and when I get my messages, you know, I usually get them a lot of times I get them when I do my devotions. So meaning that when I get my messages, they come out of my devotions. That means, you know, God is addressing me. And one of my devotions from earlier of a few weeks ago came from Titus 1:6. It says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. And I'm thinking, like, wow. And here Paul, he's talking about the false teachers who they say, yeah, we know God, they act holy and righteous, but by their actions, we can see that they don't know who God really is. And Paul calls them detestable and disobedient and, get this, worthless. And my application was, actions speaks volumes. If one's actions are good, then we really don't need to say a thing. But there's some who talk a good talk, but you look at their actions and you see their true character. And so I need to make sure that my actions line up with my speech and my speech line up with my actions, or I will be like one of these worthless, detestable teachers, or like the word we like to use is a hypocrite. So, and this morning, he said, I look at the title and I was kind of cringing because the bulletin was already made, and I was like, who comes up with these titles? Yeah! Then I look in the mirror, I said, you dummy! It's me! It's like, so here it goes, and you know, like I said, everything is always for me first. So an oxymoron, you know, it's a figure of speech, and usually it's one or two words that seemingly kind of like contradict or opposite, or they usually appear side by side, or contradiction, a paradox. You know, sometimes writers use it to make jokes or try to describe some differences or conflicts with things. And in speech, you know, oxymorons can lend to a sense of humor, irony or sarcasm. So here's the first one that my favorite, jumbo shrimp. Really? I mean, growing up, my childhood years, I think that must have been written all over me because everybody used to call me shrimp. Shrimp. Hey, you shrimp. Never jumbo, but shrimp. You know, and I was like, oh, I grew up with that word being called shrimp. Why? Because I was short. I'm still short. You put me next to Ron, and he'll get nosebleeds.
And jumbo.
You are jumbo shrimp. But, you know, and that was always the case. So it's like, you know, it's an oxymoron because shrimp refers to something small, jumbo refers to something big. So we call that an oxymoron, because how can it be jumbo shrimp? Right? And the next one is old news. You know, old meaning something is old. News meaning something is new. I mean, if something is old, you have a feeling you guys looking at me. Okay, just because they let me in Costco early, okay, before 10 o'clock, and just because they give me senior discounts on Thursday at Foodland, does that make me old? I know some guys used to call me, oh, Pastor Scott, you are as old as dirt. You know, if something is old, it's old. Can it be new? There's no such thing as old news. It might be history. That's what it is. And then the next one, working vacation. Yeah, how many of you go on vacation and work? Yeah, one, two, oh. I mean, if you're working, you should be working. If you're on vacation, you should be on vacation. And here's where, when I look at this, man, I'm a hypocrite, because when I go on vacation, I still answer my phone. And that's how I am. Because somebody may need something, but I still answer my phone. I really don't mind. I you know, when people call for church-related things, I answer my phone. I think my family might get like, oh, not again. Sometimes the only time I really don't answer my phone is usually if I'm having dinner with my family. And then the last one, this is the one we're going to look at today. Christian atheist. Huh? Christian, someone who receives Christ as the Lord and Savior. Atheist, someone who lives as if there is no God. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can open it up to Luke 11. Luke is in the New Testament. And if you have your phone, then just got to type in Luke 11. How simple is that? Luke 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 11, 37. Oh, look, I can read off of there. Now, when he had spoken, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him, and he went in and reclined at the table. When the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, "Now, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but inside of you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give that which is within as charity," meaning give to the poor. "Then all things are clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and the respectful greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, for you are like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware." So here it is, the Pharisees. I mean, these were the rulers, the leaders, the religious guys back then. And it seemed that they were instructing the people one way and doing things another way. The Pharisees probably thought themselves to be clean, righteous, and holy, but their hearts toward God and the poor proved that they were not as clean and righteous and holy as they thought they were. And Jesus right here, he's harsh. He's telling them, he's telling these Pharisees, these experts in religious law, because they focus on outward appearances and themselves rather than the inward transformation. They washed their outsides, you know, they made the outsides look all nice and regal, but inside was full of rubbish and junk. They loved the praise and attention of men rather than God. They loaded people down with burdens and religious demands. They did not accept the truth of Jesus. And they prevented others from believing the truth. They went wrong by focusing on what they looked like towards other men, and they ignored the condition of their heart. You could say that these Pharisees were a prime example of an oxymoron. So here's the thing, where do we stand? What does the Bible tell us? What does the Bible tell us about how we as Christians should conduct ourselves? So here's the first point. Number one, the true Christian conduct. And I'm going to rattle off a bunch of scriptures, and I'm pretty sure, I'm hoping that they're in your bulletin. First of all, if you are not a Christian, then you are not held to these standards. But if you are, if you accepted Jesus Christ and you call yourself a Christian, then this is like a standard of how we should conduct ourselves, how we should live. Colossians 1:9-12. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." I like that. increasing in the knowledge of God. Because day by day, week by week, we need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Every day when we do our devotions, we need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power by the Holy Spirit, of course, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So all these sayings that are underlined all come from reading and applying God's word and through the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, when you go into a room with worldly people, do you stand out or do you look like them? Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our mind when we read the Bible, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So I think this is where sometimes the Pharisees, they hear, but they didn't do. But James tells us to do. And we hear, again, we hear when we read. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is we're filled with it, it'll produce these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Titus 3:2. This is they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. You know, you ever come across, you ever have that friends who just like to quarrel, like to argue, like to just kind of throw some jabs out there? Just, how many of you have people who know how to push your buttons? Yeah? Push your buttons. Oh, man. And so we cannot be like that. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. You know, we need to show humility and be humble. So this morning we were making fried rice and I wanted to wash the rice pot. And they tell me, no. I tell, you know what? Not stay humble and pray. Stay humble and do the dishes. Stay humble, clean the toilet. You know, when you do that kind of stuff, keeps me humble. When I get to wash dishes over here, throw rubbish, keeps me humble. Makes me understand that I am not above any of those things. Matthew 15:11. It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man. Some people say we cannot eat certain things. It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. Yeah. Oh, someone, how many of you, when you drive, you just defile yourself? Huh? Yeah. I'm working on it. See, the thing is, if I remember to pray before I start driving, it's good. But a lot of times I hop in the car and I start it up, and before the thing can keep starting, it's in gear and I'm going. I need to stop. I gotta put stuff on my steering wheel. He says, pray. But what comes out of our mouth, and this is, people, what comes out of our mouth, people will look at us like, whoa. Good thing I don't have too many passengers. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far it depends on you, live at peace with all men. I like this in Matthew 7:16. You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Look at what kind of fruit are you producing. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on the things of that are on the earth. Set your mind on heavenly things, glorious things, things that brings God glory. Not on the things of that are on the earth. You know, maybe nice cars or plenty tools, plenty fishing poles. Set your mind on good godly things. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell, set our mind. We think about it. We dwell on these things. We dwell on these things like Jesus, be the center. You know, be the reason that I live. Dwell on, you know, when we read the Bible, there's so many gems, so many things we can look at, so many things we can meditate on. Like it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Okay, so that's how, you know, because how many of you realize that you and I, we are ambassadors for Christ here on this earth. We represent God here on this earth. And I know in my lifetime, I didn't do it well. I know in my lifetime, I probably caused people to stumble without knowing it. And that's probably what one day I'm going to have to answer to. And I quiver and I shake because, man, I don't know who I caused to stumble. Hopefully, not that many. But we are representing Christ. And the question one time that I was asked, who will be in heaven because of you? And hopefully no one would be in hell because of me, because I would hate that. So, number two, here's the atheist conduct, which is opposite from all the scriptures we covered. In Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking. He said, then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, these scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. I mean, they took the best seats in the house. As you can see, like, we don't have nobody in the best seats in the house. It's like, maybe you guys are afraid that I might spit when I talk. But not really. One day, my dream, I'm going to grab this pulpit and walk to the back until you turn your chair around. Hey, woo, that would be cool. So they sat themselves in the best chairs. Therefore, Jesus says, therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds. You can see it now. My dad smoking a cigarette. Son, you better not smoke. Drinking the way he said, you better not drink. Yeah, that's how it was when we were growing up. Do what they say, not what they do, in other words. For they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. For they broaden their phylacteries. Okay, well, what the heck is that? Okay, these were like boxes that they put scriptures in. They were on their head or on their arm. So you can imagine walking around with a box like this, and then your friend sees you and, oh, I'm going to go home and I'm going to make a bigger one. Then the other guy, oh, shoot, I got to make a bigger one. Next thing you know, they get one big box on their head and their arm. They must have looked pretty ridiculous, I would think. And they lengthen their tassels on their garment. I guess, maybe in these times, that was a really, really big deal. So that's why they did that. I can't see it, but you just got to imagine that that was a sign of status back then, maybe. They love their place of honor at all banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue and the respectful greetings in the marketplace. and being called rabbi by men. That's what, you know, they claim to be the religious leaders, but truly by their deeds, they were just not all that they thought they were going, they were. Psalms 53:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and having committed abominable injustice, there is no one who does good. Psalms 10:4, the wicked, in his proud countenance, does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. And sometimes I can look back on life and say, I can see when I was there. I can see a time in my life when I did not seek God. God was the farthest thing from my thoughts. And then when I hit rock bottom, and the only place I could look was up, then I realized life without God is no life at all, and I really needed to come to God. But here's the good news. Wherever you may be in life, as long as you have a pulse, check, you have a pulse. Okay. Yeah, I'm still alive. As long as there's a pulse, we can make adjustments. And shoot, I gotta tell you, I do that every day. Every day I gotta make adjustments, because every day I slip in one way, either with my mouth, with my actions. But I it's an ongoing thing. And I think the day that I don't make adjustments is the day that I don't have a pulse. The Bible gives us so much information on how we can do this. And he gives us good words, good advice, and it's up to us, because we read, it comes into our mind. But if it just stays there, it's just a thought, just knowledge. But if we just drop it down into our heart and let it change us from the inside out, you just move it 18 inches. Well, the taller guys might be 22. Mine might be 12. I got a shorter distance to go from my brain to my heart because I'm a shrimp. Yeah?
A jumbo.
Jumbo. If I was a shrimp, then I would be a jumbo shrimp. I'd be the biggest shrimp around. And then somebody's probably going to barbecue me. But, you know, we just drop it from information to our heart and let it transform us. I can tell you, when you do that, something incredible happens. God moves. He changes. He transforms. And it's like, wow. And I like to say that if you look at my life, where I was 22, 23 years ago, and where I am, you probably swear like, what? No blank way. You know what I mean? No darn way. And I am a walking miracle because God had just changed me. And I'm grateful. And it's wonderful. One of my other devotions came from 1 Timothy 1:16. I titled this example. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. And I thought, my observation, you ever wonder why we don't go to heaven the moment we accept Christ? Here Paul writes to Timothy and tells him that God left him here as an example of how one's life could be changed for those who believe. And I think that's why God left me here. Because when my old friends see me, they say, no way, way, no way, way, look. You know, it's like, what happened to you? You know, God left me here to be an example for others to come to Christ. Amen. Not run away from Christ. If you ever go on YouTube, there's this video. And it's so true. It says, Lord, save me from your followers. And there's a documentary about how some Christians behave that others say, I don't want anything to do with that. It says, Lord, save me from your followers. You think about it. If I am a bad example of how a Christian should live, you see me driving down the Pana Everstretch, weaving through cars in and out, my hand with my cigarette out the window, you know, showing everybody the number one because they're driving too slow. I'm in the left lane and I'm saying, what part of slow traffic keep right? Don't you understand? And I'm saying, and I'm just, and then people look at me, hey, that was Pastor Scott. Oh, wow, what kind of church is he run? Maniac Driver Church. So he left me here as an example so that people would come to Christ, not be turned off by my behavior. So my prayer is, Lord, please help me to be the best example possible so that I may win people to you. Because that's the last thing I want to do is be a bad example. And I can probably tell you that some people look at it like, oh my God, that was Pastor Scott. He's grouchy today. But it doesn't matter if I have a bad day or a good day. They don't know it. Non-Christians don't know it. And they're not going to give you grace. So for me, I got to be on the best behavior all times. And it's not easy. So I just try. And that's why I got this message. It's like, I do not want to be a jumbo shrimp. I don't want to be an oxymoron. I want to be someone who says, like, I want to go to that church. I want to see what they're about. Because they're different. When I push their buttons, it doesn't work. They don't get mad. They smile and say, Jesus loves you. When the fish comes off their line and it drops down the last 20 feet of the cliff, oh, you know, before you used to be like, oh, yo. But now, it's like, thank you, Jesus. I got to fight that fish for a little while, and it came up, and I seen it, and even if James is not going to believe me, because the fish was this big, then, you know, that's okay because I got to fight the fish. And that's what it is now. Because I lose more fish than I catch. And I thank God for even the ones that come off. Because it's, at least I got... I mean, it's better to get a fish and miss it than no bites at all. I tell you that much. So the thing is, I want us to understand that, hey, we represent God. We get to represent God well. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you, maybe you need to accept Christ. Not so you can be an oxymoron, but maybe so he can transform you from the inside out. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I ask you to pray this prayer with me. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. The prayer goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anyone here prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? God bless you over there. Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands. And maybe there's somebody out there on Facebook who have raised their hands. Lord, I pray that you would start the transformation from the inside out. I pray that you would connect them with good, godly people who would encourage them in their walk and their growth with you. I pray, Lord, if any of us are battling with how we conduct ourselves, I pray, Lord, that we would begin to seek you, read your word, and let your word change us from the inside out. We thank you so much, Lord, that we get to meet, that we get to fellowship, we get to love upon each other. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand and join us? And we're going to rock the place again. Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Good to have you back speaking again.